My name is Claire Hunter, and in this installment of Friendship in Verse, I'm going to briefly analyze The Fish by Marianne Moore and The Fish by Elizabeth Bishop. Marianne Moore wrote her version of The Fish in 1918, but it was first published in 1921. Interestingly, the poem is not actually about a fish, but rather it focuses on the sea and the area surrounding it. Moore uses the natural landscape to discuss life and death, but she hides behind the physical exterior to insinuate as a poet the emotion she wants her reader to experience. The tone of the poem is also detached. There is not a great sense of emotion moving through the lines. This lack of umph moving through the poem is mirrored by the slowness of the fish in the first stanza. The fish wade through black jade. Wading is not a fast action, but rather it is tiresome. Also, the blackness of the water is depressing because it is not the same hue of naturally clear water, but instead it is dark, and there is an inability to know or see what emerges with the darkness. There is another explicit example of the unnatural in the adjusting shell in the second stanza. It is opening and shutting, and the small shell cannot escape the change of the waters. This is an example of small things that are affected by the domination of the sea in the poem. Again, here there is a sense of rawness, darkness, and inescapability. Likewise, the barnacles in the poem cannot hide, but are also subjected to this invasive darkness. I would also argue that Moore as a poet is hiding in this poem. The scene is even underwater, and it is sheltered from the judgment of the outside world with this use of natural protection. One thing that I think is important about this poem is that it is difficult to understand. Moore makes it difficult for her readers to make conclusions, and I would agree with Christian Reed that the power of the poem can function perfectly in the fish's ability to slip away. Similarly, Moore is able to slip away in this poem, and her politics becomes difficult to categorize as she hides behind a turquoise sea of bodies or an ink-bespattered jellyfish. Even though there isn't explicit language towards a feminist nature in this poem, I do think it is interesting that Reed thinks it's important that a 30-year-old woman has sympathies that lie within a battered and violated nature. I would agree that Moore's writing of the poem as a woman is a step for the intellectual freedom of the woman in poetry. But it is also true to her major concern that she is never explicitly feminist in this poem. In many ways, the lack of leaving a trail of historical times, Moore makes her poetry accessible to the masses. But I would also argue that this is just as important as what she leaves out of poems as what she puts in them. As we will see, Bishop does have a sharper voice with more overt political opinions, but Moore was also dealing with a more conservative environment. It is also important that Moore does not present a clear, obvious picture of the landscape around the fish. Again, it is dark and vague at times. I would argue that her political life and feelings were similarly vague and confusing at times for her, and parts of her personal life she would prefer to keep in the dark. I think the lack of clarity in this poem is important and interesting in regards to her own private perspectives and her personal life, and again, I think it is important what is left out of the poem. Nonetheless, Moore's use of metaphor is discreet and beautiful. In The Fish, she commands the darkness and the destruction of the sea. The sea grows old in it, as America grows old in Marianne Moore. Again, Elizabeth Bishop writes her own poem, The Fish. This poem was published in 1946 and is dramatically different from Marianne Moore's version of The Fish. This poem has a strong, talkative narrator with great clarity. It leads the reader through the poem. Bishop is also not evasive in her use of imagery and metaphor like Moore, but rather she is overt in her discussion of the sexual in the poem. According to Costello, The fish is hanging like a phallus when it is described with his brown skin hung in strips. It is also important that the skin is wallpaper. The skin that is like wallpaper is stained, or it is violated. The sexual in the poem emerges again as the fish is described with a pink swim bladder like a big peony. Costello again argues, this hermaphroditic fish challenges the conventional hierarchical antithesis of female nature and male culture. Betsy Erica agrees that there is a great difference between two poems by Bishop and Moore. She notes, whereas Moore's fish emphasizes the product and meaning of observation, Bishop's fish foregrounds the process of observation and the essential gap between subject, representation, and world. Moore appropriates the fish into an imaginative order that gives rise to ethical insight. Bishop begins with an act of an appropriation. I caught a tremendous fish, but ends by returning the fish to the infernal flux which the fish, vision, and the poem arise. The ultimate focus of Moore's poem is aesthetic and moral, revealing a natural provincial order of permanence and value. The focus of Bishop's poem is visionary, suggesting temporarily, transient, and the subjectivity of value. If Moore's poem is about the values of adaptability, endurance, and natural heroism, Bishop's poem is about the experience of living in an alien and ultimately mystifying world. I agree that Bishop focuses on self-awareness. At the close of the poem, Bishop begins to refocus the reader on desire, want, closure, with the repetition of rainbow, rainbow, rainbow. But then the speaker lets the fish go at the close of the poem. I would argue that this ending welcomes the sense of uncertainty and does not force ownership of the fish or any one idea. Also, there is great beauty in the rainbow, and the speaker welcomes the presence of humanity and then allows the fish to live. Ironically, Bishop allows her sexuality the same freedom by recognizing that it is in part her truth. She does not attempt to hide to the extent that Bishop does through symbolism, but I would say that the freedom of Bishop's metaphor and her address of sexuality is directly related to the generational values that she is offered. Soon, Adrienne Reich and other poets will emerge on the scene with more overt feminism. With the entrance of third-wave feminism, the generational forces will be changed again.